All right, we'll say good morning. Our shiur this morning is sponsored by Simon and Tara Kornberg in the Zchus for an Aliyah for the Neshama of Chai Rachel Leah Bas Abram. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her Neshama will have an Aliyah and the family in Achama. Thank you for the sponsorship. All right, we'll say let's begin. A lot to do today. Today is Daf Memtes 49, and we are picking up on Memchas Amud Beis. We're picking up at the two dots. 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. Chalku ha-shutzvim v'harisas. We also remember again, yesterday we spoke about this idea that although generally a shvua has to be triggered by a definitive claim, there are certain rabbinic shvuos that could be triggered even by non-definitive claims. So again, that really applies to a specific group of people who, as the Gemara said, are mora b'hetera, mora heter, that because they work closely with each other, and because they may go ahead and ultimately take a little bit more than they're entitled to, therefore the other interested party could trigger a shvua. So the Gemara says the following: Yibaylo, ma legalgal b'derabbanan. Rabbi say, can we employ the concept of gilgul shvua by a shvua derabbanan? What's gilgul shvua? Remember again, gilgul shvua says once I'm swearing about a particular issue, so we could go ahead and we could add on to a whole bunch of other shvuas to swear about things that in and of themselves would not have triggered a shvua obligation. So can I go ahead and trigger a shvua when the shvua which is being taken is a shvua dirabanan? So it says the Gemara Tashma Lova Haimenu Erev Shvias. It's an interesting case. I borrowed money from Ruvain on Erev Shmita, Erev Shvias. Well, the Matzei Shvias, Nasa Lo Shutov O Ores. I'm both saying what happens. A Matzei Shvias, we become partners in a business deal. Now, remember again, Shmita goes ahead and wipes out the debt. So the case over here is he lent me money on Erev Shvias, and then we ultimately became business partners on Matzei Shvias. So we'll say, now what happens? Now that we're business partners, so the halacha is that what? Ruvain could be magalgal shvua, Ruvain could ask me to swear that I have not taken more than my portion of the partnership interest. So what's the halacha? In magalgalim. Ultimately, you know, we'll say, once I'm taking the shvua we call shvua sashutvin, once I'm taking a shvua that I haven't taken more than I'm entitled to from the partnership, so Ruvain can't force me to also take a shvua about what? About the loan from before Shemitah. Time of the love and Erev Shvias. Now, the reason why there's no Gilgul Shvua about the loan was why, Rabbi Osai? Because the loan was made on Erev Shemitah. And what does Shemitah do to the debt? It wipes it out. So there's nothing really to swear about. So the Gemara says, Da'asya Shvias Afkase. Because Shemitah came along and wiped out the debt. Hashar Shnei Shavua Megalkulin. Rabbi Osai, what do you see from this case? You see from this case that if this wasn't a Shemitah situation, so once I'm already taking a Shvua Sashutvin, then what? Then what? Ruvain could force me to swear about the pre-existing debt. Now, boss, remember again, the shvua sashutvin is the shvua when two people are in a partnership together. One partner could force the other partner to swear that the first partner has not been dishonest, or has been honest, I should say, in his dealings with the partnership. Does the second partner require cause to trigger that shvua? And the answer is no. The answer is no, not really. Again, we saw yesterday that the value of the claim has to be a certain amount, but Lamaisa, I don't have to have proof that something illicit was done in order to trigger the shua. But the point over here is, you see from this Gemara, that the only reason why, when he's taking the shua sashotfin, Ruvain can't make me swear about the debt, is because Shemitah already canceled the debt. But if it wasn't a Shemitah case, then what? Then I would be permitted to go ahead and cause Gilgul Shavua. So you see that even on Shavua Dirabbanan, you can be Megalgul that Shavua onto other things. To which the Gemara said, lo teima hashar shnei shvua megalgalin. Don't say that necessarily you could infer from here that if we're not a Shemitah year, you could do Gilgul Shvua. Ela ima na'asa lo shutof o ares erev shiyas. Maybe the case is as follows, that if Ruben and I became partners on Erev Shemitah, ulumatzei shviyas, love emenu, and on matzei shviyas I borrowed money from him, right? Then, megalgalin. Then Abba say what? Then in that case, once I have, let's say, and then it was a modu mixas, which is a shvua daraisa. Then once I'm taking a shvua daraisa, he could be megalgal that shvua to create obligation for shvua sashutvin, which Abba say is a case of a shvua daraisa generating gilgal for a shvua dirabanan. To which Mar says, no. Haba hejekatani. We learned that case explicitly. What's the case, Abba say? Na'aseh lo shutav o aris erev shvias. that if I became a shutaf or an aris, I became a shutaf on Erev Shemitah, Ula Matzei Shvias Lava Himenu, and I Matzei Shvias I borrowed money, Megalgalin. Once I'm taking an oath about the debt, I can be Megalgal the Shuvah ultimately onto the Shuvah Sashotvin. So we'll say, therefore, again, it must be that the case we're discussing is the one as previously stated, namely, I borrowed money. We'll also listen to this case. I borrowed money Erev Shemitah. I borrowed money Erev Shemitah. And then on Matzei Shemitah, I enter into a business partnership with Reuven. So we'll say, what's the novelty now? He could force me to swear, right, Shvuas HaShutvin, about the business partnership, that I have been honest in the partnership. And as a result, once I'm swearing about the business partnership, then what? Then he could force me to swear about the debt that existed before Shemitah, even though Shemitah already canceled out that debt. And we'll say, now the novelty here is that what? Is that is the Shvuas HaShutvin, the rabbinic Shvua, which could be Megalgil onto other Shvua. So from here you see that what? Shma mina Megalgilim b'dirabana shmana. We'll say, what do you see from here? And this indeed is halacha l'maisa, that even a Shvua d'rabbanan, even a rabbinic Shvua, has the ability to generate a Gilgal Shvua on other Shvuas. Amazing. Amazing. Amrafuna. We'll say, Amrafuna. Rafuna said the following. Top of Memtes, 49a. First line. Good? Table 1, 49a. Good. L'kol Megalgilim. Rabbosa, listen to this. We can go ahead, look at Rashi, the Kol Megalgilim, first Rashi. Al yedei shvua d'rabbanan Megalgilim, chutz me'al yad shvuas sachir. Rabbosa, say, an obligation to take any shvua opens the door for Gilgul Shvua. Again, remember, Gilgul Shvua once again means, once I'm swearing, we could make that shvua devolve upon a whole bunch of other things that in and of themselves would not have generated oath liability. So now the Gemara says, any shvua can trigger the Gilgul process, chutz mischir, with the exception of an employee's shvua. Remember again, a hired worker shvua. We'll say, what's the hired worker shvua? This was a special shvua that I bought that says what? If I'm working for someone, I can swear that I haven't gotten paid, and what? I get paid. We'll say, it's, if you think about it, it's the ultimate form of employee protection. Right? The ultimate form of employee protection is that I, as an employee, at any point in time could swear that I haven't gotten paid, and receive my compensation. So look at Rashi just a moment. Therefore, again, once I'm swearing, that does not trigger that shvua, the one called the shvua schir, they cannot trigger gilgul. Look at Rashi. They call magalgulin al yidei kol shvua d'rabbanan magalgulin. Every shvua d'rabbanan b'osa opens the door for gilgul. Chutz me al yad shvua schir. She'in magalgulin alav al yad shvua cheres. Because b'osa, once the employee is taking a shvua, we can't pile on other shvuas onto that. Why? Lefishu atzma eina min hadin ela lahafiz daito shabal abayis kidam rabbechalan ishvuin. Because we also remember again. Remember what we learned before. Oh, what kind of question is that? Of course, remember we learned before. But the idea being, remember we learned before that in the ikar adin, an employee is believed over an employer. Why? What's the swear behind that? Because the assumption is an employer has got a lot of people he's managing, so he just might be confused about the details. The one thing that most people never get confused about is what? If they've gotten paid, right? I might forget a lot of things, like my kids' birthdays, but I'm not gonna forget if I got paid or not. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef Meikra Din, when the employee says I haven't gotten paid, he's believed. The shvua is there in order to make the balabos, in order to make the employer, because otherwise, Rabbi Yosef, the employer feels vulnerable if at any point in time any of his employees could say I didn't get paid. Therefore, the shvua is there as a fail-safe to make him feel more secure in the employee's claim. Because Rabbi Yosef, this shvua is already what we call a takana, because it is already enacted. In other words, this is not really an obligatory shvua. It's just a shvua that's instituted to make the Baal HaBayis, make the employer feel better. You can't pile other shvuas on that. Fine. Rav Chista says, L'kol im makilin, chutz mischir de makilin. We'll say, so this is actually interesting. So Rav Chista says, we're not makil for any of the other shvuas, which I will say in this verbiage, Rashi says this, they're saying the same thing. L'kol im makilin means that we're not lenient. Rather, we do gilgul shvua for other shvuas, with the exception of schir, with the exception of the employee's shvua, Rabbi said we don't do gilgul shvua. So remember again, what this means is we don't say, for any other shvua, once you're already swearing about matter A, we'll say, you know what, while you're swearing, swear about B, C, D, and E as well. Those were matters that could not generate their own oath liability. That's fine. But once you're already swearing, swear about these other things as well. Everybody's agreeing. Meaning you have Rav Huna and Rav Chisda are both agreeing that it's true for every shvua except for a shvua schir. Except for an employee shvua, once he's swearing, he only swears about that matter, does not swear about anything else. And again, the svara is that since it's not really a quote-unquote real shvua to begin with. In other words, it's not really, it shouldn't be an obligatory shvua. It's just there to make the employer feel better. You can't do Gilgal. So say, ask the Gemara, so what's the difference in the other shonos? In other words, they're saying the same thing, but yet they use different verbiage. So remember, Rav Huna saying, l'kol megalgalin, chutz misir she'in megalgalin. Rav Huna saying, l'kol in makilin. We're not lenient for other shvuas, which Rabbi Osei means we impose Gilgal on other shvuas, except for shvuas schir, we're a quote-unquote mekel, and we don't employ Gilgal. My benayu. So if they're saying the same thing, what's the difference? Oh, we'll say, this is riveting. Ika benayu, liftoach lo. I will say, watch this. Look at Rashi, liftoach lo. Im lo ta'an ha-toveh, she's gagul alav, yiftichu lo beizdin gilgul, lemandam magalgalin, ulemandam in makilin, and ta'an gilgul in makilin alav, el magalgalin, v'im lo ta'an ha-il ha-toach lo. We'll say, watch this. The question is, let's say I show up in Bezin, I have to swear about matter A. Whatever it is. I'm owed them, I borrowed $1,000 from Reuven. Reuven says, you owe me $1,000. I say, I only owe you $500. I'm owed the mixes. I come to Bezdin. Does Bezdin tell Reuven, listen, once Silber is already swearing, do you have anything else you want him to take a shivua on? So is Bezdin proactive in telling Reuven, now there's an opportunity for Gilgal here? Or does Bezdin say, you know what, we're not going to say anything. If Reuven wants to be Magalgil, Shavua, and other things, let Reuven come forward and ask for it, but we're not coming and offering it. We're not coming and discussing it. So we'll say, that's the Machlokes. According to Rav Chisda, who says, Lakol ein Makilin, the Lashon of Makilin means Gilgal is an option that is there, but at the end of the day, Beis Din is not going to encourage it. Beis Din is not going to be the one who brings it up. It is up to the Toveya. It is up, ultimately, again, to the claimant to go ahead and ask the swearer to swear about other things. According to Rav Huna Rav Osai, of Lakol Megalgalin, Beis Din proactively brings up the option of Gilgul Shavua. Beautiful. So the Gemara goes weiter. Vashis Mishamata. So we'll remember again, one of the novel things that we saw in the Mishnah, which was really very interesting, is that Shemitah wipes out oath liability. That if there is an outstanding oath connected to a claim of money, so Shemitah wipes out that oath. So it says the Gemara, we already know this from Amar of Gil Amar Av Damakra, V'zeh Dvar HaShemitah. What a fascinating diuk. Because what does the pasuk say? V'zeh Dvar HaShemitah. That this ultimately, again, is the word of Shemitah. Afilu Dibor Meshamta. Shemitah will even wipe out a Dibor. What kind of Dibor does Shemitah wipe out? I will say, Shemitah will wipe out the Dibor of Yeshua. Amazing. Hadron Aloch. Kala Nishbon. Mazel Tov, Rabbi Osei. Last perek of Meseches Shavuos. Arba Shomer Mehim. And I will say, it's great. Arba Shomer Mehim. So there are four different types of Shomer. I will say, now Rashi already points out, this Mishnah seems to be a dramatic, review. Review of that which we learned about Metzia, of the Adal Shomer. You're going to see, we're introducing it now because of the carbonic liability that's going to be discussed, but we're going to speak a little bit about the different types of custodians. Arber Shomerim. We'll say there are four different types of custodians. Shomer Chinam, V'Hashoel. So we'll say Shomer Chinam is an unpaid custodian. Shoel is a borrower. Nosei Schar is a paid custodian, what we call a Shomer Sacher. Sucher, a renter. Okay, so we'll say, so these are all the individuals. So now, let's talk a little bit about their respective liabilities. Shomer Chinam, Nishpa al Hakol. Now, we'll say, Shomer Chinam, when it says Nishpa al Hakol, means he swears to everything. That's another way of saying, he swears to free himself from all liability. I.e., a Shomer Chinam has no liability for anything that happens to the object, as long as what? He was not a posher. Look at Rashi. Nishpa ala kol shelo pasha. The only thing I will say that an unpaid custodian is chayiv for is in the event that he was negligent. If he was negligent with the item, then he is liable. But if it was stolen, if it was lost, if it was taken captive, if it was broken, whatever, died, he's not liable for that. So how does he free himself from liability? He swears. And what's the shvua? So the shvua is shvua shelo pashati. I swear I was not negligent with the item. If that happens, he's out. He's done. He's finished. Next, Hashua Meshalim Yisakol. On the other hand, a borrower, right? A borrower is chayiv for everything. Now, Zabosai, remember, we saw this back in our Arba Shomrim days. Zabosai, the liability is directly connected to the rights of usage. The more usage you have, the more responsibility / liability you have. So a shoel is, as the Gemara says, kol hana'a shalo. He essentially becomes almost like an owner of the item. He can use it in any way. He can use it for everything. And therefore, by definition, again, he has complete liability. Sashom shalim esakol. He has to pay for everything. Whatever happens. No se schar. We'll say, what about a paid custodian, shomer sachar? Or hasocher, a renter, nishboin. We'll say, so they swear, ala shvura va'al hashvuya va'al hamesa. So we'll say, so if the object broke, or if it was taken captive, or if it died, so they swear that they were not at all responsible, and they are exempt from responsibility. However, again, a shomer sachar and the socher are chayev, Rabosai, if the object is lost, or if the object is stolen. Okay, now Rabosai, before we go on, take a quick look at Rashi over here. Here's the important part for us. Look at Rashi, no say schar v'asocher. The kula mikrai, Rabosai, so skip down to just two lines. V'ha mishnah hazos kvar shnui v'asocher sepolim. We already learned this mishnah before, v'asocher sepolim. Ki kol ki agavna v'haidu hadar Rebbe, v'tanye hacha. So why does Rebbe teach it? Why does Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi teach it again here? I'm reading in Rashi, mishum. The boy lemisni chiyuvi upitrei the carbon shvua di do. Oh, because I will say, as we're going to see in just a bit, so the real thrust of this Mishnah is carbonic liability for false oaths. So therefore, but in order to teach about the shvua liability, we first have to go ahead and give a little bit of an introduction regarding their shomer liability. First, we speak about again their financial obligations. Lefisha carbon hashvua di chiyuvi upitrei talui bekach. We'll say, Garrett, here we go. Shem nishpa al davar shu mechayiv alav. We'll say, if a person swears regarding, a shomer swears regarding something that he's liable for, im hode, ubishvu also pater atzmo mi l'shalim, nimtza sheko from mamon, v'chayiv shvuas hapikadon v'chomesh v'asham. We'll say, here's the important part. When are you chayiv? What we call... if a person goes in and takes a shvuas hapikadon, which Rabbi say is an oath that says, I don't have the object, and it turns out that what? That he's lying. When is he chayiv a karban asham, plus the penalty chomesh? Rabbi say, when does that liability come about? Only if what? Only if he's denying a monetary claim. But if he's lying, but there's no denial of money, there's no monetary denial, then by definition, he's not chayiv in the carbon. Now, we're going to see many examples of this, where people are lying under oath, but their lies are not financially material. In other words, I'm lying about circumstances, but lemaisa, I wouldn't be chayiv for the money no matter what. So what the Mishnah is coming to teach me is the only time I'm chayiv for a carbon as a result of a false shvuas hapikadon is only when that denial was kfiras mamon. And again, this will become clear in just a moment. Only when that denial was a denial of financial responsibility. Ve'im nishpa al sheker achinam. But if you just swore falsely, kigon shim hoda lo hayim shalim. For example, in a case where if you admitted what really happened, you wouldn't be liable to pay anyway. Eino chayiv karban shvua shelo kafir mamon. You would not be chayiv a karban for the false shvua. Why? Because you did not deny any kind of monetary claim. Now we'll discuss what you will be chayiv for in the Gemara. I will say, watch this. Here we go. Watch. This is amazing. Amar lo shomachinam. We'll say, get ready. Back to the Mishnah. I say to the unpaid custodian, hey chun shori. By the way, where's my ox? Right? Where's my ox? Amar lo mace. The shomachinam says, Baruch Dynamis, it died. Now I will say, now it didn't die. It didn't die. Vahushin nishbar o nishba o nignav o avad. So what happened? So it either broke, or it was taken captive, or it was stolen, or it was lost. Or nishbar, he tells me it broke. Right? It broke its legs. And in reality, that's not true. Vahusha meis o nishba o nignav o avad. But in reality, it died, or it was taken captive, or it was stolen, or it was lost. Or the Shomer Chinam says nishba. It was taken captive. Vahusha meis o nishbar o nignav o avad. But in reality, it died, or it broke, or it was stolen, or it was lost. Or the Shomer says nignav. It was stolen. Vahusha meis o nishbar o nishba o avad. But in reality, it died, or it was broken, or it was taken captive or lost. Or avad. He says it was lost. So we'll say, again, all of these cases, what happens? Shomer Chinam lies, right? What he says happened to the animal didn't happen to him. Something else happened to the animal. And what happens? I say to him, Mashbi'acha ani. I say to him, do you swear Do you swear? Bless you. That what you say occurred. So va'amar amen, and he says yes. So what says? What just happened? He swore falsely. Nevertheless, we'll say, what's the halacha? Potter. He is not chayev the carbon, asham, and the chumash. Why not, we'll say? Because at the end of the day, it makes no difference. Meaning, had he told the truth, he would have been exempt also. Because remember again, a shomer chinam, he's only chayev for one thing, which is what? Pshia, which is negligence. And Abosai, in these cases, there was no negligence. It just happened to be, he lied about the circumstances of the animal. He swore that the animal died when in fact it was taken captive. Or he swore that ultimately, again, it was lost when in fact it would die. But it doesn't make a difference. Meaning, again, he's a liar, and we'll discuss his liability for being a liar. But Lamaisa, on a claim level, nothing he said is impactful. He hasn't denied money. And therefore, again, there is no shvua liability. Hey, Chon Shori. Rabbi say, watch this. If I say to him, where's my axe? If he says, I don't know what you're talking about. Now, the difference in this case is what? Here, he is denying that he had the ox at all. He says, I'm sorry. So he says, I don't know what you're talking about. So again, and I say to him, do you swear you know what I'm talking about? And he says, yes, Potter. The both say, again, he's Potter. Why? I hear he's saying, I don't even know what you're talking about. The both say, as long as it turns out that he was not negligent with the ox, his denial of knowledge about the ox was not through the kfiras mamon. He wasn't denying anything. Why? Because he would have been putter anyway. He would have been exempt anyway. Therefore, again, the denial of the ox itself is not what's called a kfiras mamon. It's not a monetary denial. Heichon shori. We'll say, but if I say to him, where's my ox? Where's my ox? Amar lo, avad. He says it was lost. Mashbi acha ani va'amar amen. And I say, do you swear? And he says, yes. Va'idim eidin also. Sha'ach lo. Oh, but the witnesses claim that's what? Bless you. We saw him have a barbecue, right? We saw him go in and eat your ox. So we'll say in that case, then what? That's pshia. Then mishalim esai karen. Then ultimately, again, then in that case, the shomer will have to pay the principal. Hold the me'atzmo. But if he admits his own liability, mishalim karen v'chomesh asham. So we'll say, as we see now also, liability for the false shvuas hapikadon, to have to bring the carbon asham and the chomesh, Rabbi Osai, only applies in a case where a person admits his own false oath. So if it turns out that he lied under oath and there was a monetary claim and he was proven to be a liar by witnesses, he'll have to pay Karen. If he admits his own liability, then what? Then he pays Karen, plus brings the Asham and pays the additional penalty fifth. Heichan Shori. I say to the Shomer, where is my axe? Va'amar lo nignav. He says it was stolen. Mashpi achani va'omer amen. I say, do you swear? And he says, yes. Ava'idim me'idin also shin gunvo. And the witnesses claim, witnesses testify that we saw Reuven steal the axe himself. We saw the Shomer himself steal the axe. Then I will say, what's the halacha? Mushayim tashlumei kefel. Ultimately, again, he has to pay kefel because he's a ganav. However, holdem me'atzmo, if he admitted his own, right? If he admitted that he lied, and he admitted, meaning he admitted that he took a false shvua, and he also admitted that what? That he stole the ox, then what? I will say, mushayim kerem, v'chomesh, v'ashen. Then I will say, pays the kerem, the principal, the penalty fifth, and brings the carbon asher. Right? Ultimately, again, I say to Reuven in the shuk, where is my ox that you stole from me? Amar lo ganafti. Reuven says I didn't steal anything. And the witnesses testify and say, yes, you did. So again, I'll say that's just a straightforward case. Reuven has to pay kefel. Tavach umachar mishanta shlumi arba v'chamisha. If he went ahead and he stole it, he slaughtered it, then he sold it, he has to pay the 4 and 5 time penalty payment. We'll say, watch this. Ra'idim shememash mishinu boin ara ganafti avalot avachti macharti eino mishalim elakena. So listen to this case. Let's say Reuven stole my axe, right? And at first glance, he's going to deny it, but then what happens? He sees the witnesses coming, and he knows, those guys know that. So what does he do? He's fine, I stole it. But I didn't go ahead and slaughter it and steal it. And Rabbi said, I was lying about that. He did slaughter and steal it. But here's the chap. Once he admitted that he stole it, Rabbi said, what does that do? That frees him from kefel. Right? Remember, again, kefel, double payment, is a knas. It's a penalty payment. Modip knas potter. Once you admit a penalty payment, you are exempt. So what happens? This guy sees witnesses. And he admits that he stole it, thereby exempting himself from the double payment. Now, here's the chap. even though he's also lying about the fact that he slaughtered it and stole it, he's not chayv arba v'chamisha. Why? Because as we saw before, part of the arba v'chamisha rabosa is kefel. Once there's no kefel, there's no arba v'chamisha as well. Once he exempts himself from kefel, because he admitted that he stole it, by definition, he is exempted from arba v'chamisha as well. Now, the novelty Rashi points out over here is that what? Even though his admission was clearly motivated by what, Rabosai? By what? By the witnesses. Right, by the witnesses. In other words, remember again, it's close. Right, he goes ahead and he sees the witnesses coming. See, he realizes he's about to be found guilty by those witnesses. See, you know, I might as well cut my losses over here. And at least, if the witnesses come, I'm going to be chayiv kefil. If I just admit it myself right now, I'll only be chayiv keren. I might as well just cut my losses. So we'll say, even though that's why he's admitting it, okay, admission is an admission. At the end of the day, he admits it. The fact that it was motivated not through some type of altruistic desire to do tshuva, but to avoid greater financial liability, doesn't matter to us all that much. Amar lo shol, we'll say next case. I say to the borrower, Heichan shori, where is my axe? Amar lo, he says to me, mace, died. Behu nishpar, she nishpar ol nishpar nignava avad, but instead it broke, or it was taken captive, or it was stolen, or it was lost. We'll say same thing as shomer chinam. Or nishpar, right? He tells me it was broken. Behu she mace ol nishpar ol nignava avad, Nishba, he says it was taken captive. But again, it either died, it was broken, it was taken, it was stolen, or it was lost. Nignav, the point is, the Shaul is making a claim, and that's not what happened. Right? That's not what happened. I say, do you swear that's what happened? And he says, yes. Potter. We'll say the shoal is potter. Now, what does it mean the shoal is potter? What does it mean the shoal is potter? The shoal is potter, I will say, from the asham and the chomesh, meaning he's potter from karbonic liability for taking a false oath. Why? What? Because he didn't make a monetary denial. Why, I will say? Because the shoal is chayiv for anything anyway. In other words, I will say, it doesn't really matter what happened to the animal. Whether the animal died, taken captive, ran out on its own, whatever happened makes no difference. The shoal is chayiv for everything. Therefore, I will say, again, this is the theme. You're only chayiv a carbon for a false shvua sapikadon, Rabosai, when two things are in place. Number one, there is a monetary denial. You've denied monetary obligation. And as you just saw before, you have to admit that you lied under oath yourself. That's ultimately, again, the two preconditions for a carbon asham and a chomesh for a false shvua sapikadon. But also in all of these cases, even though the shoal is lying about the circumstances, his lie doesn't have a monetary impact because he would have been chayiv anyway. Weiter. Heichon shori. Say, shoal, where's my axe? Amar lo in yodea matas sach. I don't know what you're talking about. Vohu shemes ol nishpar ol nishpa ol mignav ol ne'evad. So we'll say in this case over here, where I say to the shomer, I show to the shoel, where's my axe? And he says, what axe? What are you talking about? And in fact, it turns out that the axe died, was broken, was taken captive, was stolen, or was lost. And I say, do you swear you don't know what I'm talking about? And he says, yes. Chayiv. Then we'll say he's chayiv. Why? Because in that case where he says, I don't know what you're talking about, we'll say that is a monetary denial. Because he's claiming that he doesn't have any liability because he has no relationship with his axe. I don't know what you're talking about. See, he's denying his liability, therefore he's chayiv. Amr leno say schar v'asokar. We'll say next case. I say to the shomer sachar, or to the renter, heichan shori, where is my axe? Amr li mace. So he says to me, the axe died, bohu shenishpar ol nishpar. We'll say same thing, and what happens? And it turns out that it was either broken or taken captive. Nishpar, or he claims that it was broken, bohu shemes ol nishpar. Or nishpa, he claims that it was taken captive. Behu shemes o nishpa. Rabbi say first four line, testament days. Nignav, it was stolen. Behu shavad, and it was really lost. Avad, behu shenignav, or it was lost, and now, he claims it was lost, but it was really stolen. Mashbi acha ani va'amar amen. So I say to the shomer sachar, tell me. I say to the shomer sachar, do you swear? And he says, yes. Sorry. Potter. It will say ultimately again in this case it'll be potter. Why? Because remember again he would have been chayiv anyway. Remember again, you're only chayiv for a false shvuah because Rabbi say when? Remember, you will be chayiv for making a false oath. That's something separate. But you're only chayiv a carbon asham and the additional penalty chomesh for a false shvuah sapikadon when there was denial of financial responsibility. But when all you're doing, quote unquote, all you're doing is lying about circumstances, but your lie doesn't have a financial impact, you're not chayiv the karban asham and the chomesh for the four shvuas hafikat. The Gemara goes weiter. Mace onishbar onishba vushenigna, but if he claims it died or it was broken or it was taken captive, but in reality it was stolen or lost, mashbi ach ani va'amar amen. I say to the shomer, shomer sachar, do you swear? And he says yes. Chayiv. The Rebbe said in that case will be chayiv. Why? Because lemaise again, that claim was an attempt to free himself from financial liability. Avad onignav vahu shemes onishbar. Similarly, again, if the object was lost or stolen, vahu shemes. Excuse me. He claims it was lost or stolen. Vahu shemes onishbar onishba. But in reality, it died. It was broken or it was taken captive. Mashbi ach ani. I make the shomer sachar swear. Va'amar amen. And he says he agrees. Right. He affirms it. Patra. We'll say again because that was a case where his claim is not denial of any type of financial liability because he would have been patra anyway. Zaklau. Well, it says the Mishnah, here is the principle. Kala mishana mechova lechova, umi p'tur leptur, umi p'tur lechova, pater. Now, we'll say, anytime you swear falsely, but you swear falsely in a way where you would be chayiv anyway had you told the truth. In other words, well, the circumstances by which you swear about make you financially liable. The truth would have made you financially liable. Or, if you were already pater, and your shvua, the circumstances you swear about, also go out and make you pater. Or, you were pater, but you swear in a way that makes you obligated, pater. But in that case, you're pater from what? From a false shvua sapikadon, which would incur the liability of the chomesh, the penalty fifth, plus a karban asham. However, mechov leptor, Rebbe says, if you swear in a way where you were obligated, and through your shvua, you try to exempt yourself from financial liability, chayiv. Then Rebbe says, ultimately, again, you are chayiv. Zaklal, kol anishpa lahakil al atzmo, chayiv. Lahachmir al atzmo, pater. Rebbe says, furthermore, again, the Mishnah just restates the klal, anytime you swear to lessen your liability, that is a false shvua sapikadon. You will be chayiv the chomesh. You will be chayiv ultimately again the karban Hashem as well. Anytime ultimately lahakmir latzmo. But if you take a shvua, we'll say, and the circumstances you swear about actually create a more stricter circumstance for yourself, then what? Then ultimately again you are pater. Fine. Says the Gemara, man tana arba shomrim. Who is the tana of this Mishnah that speaks about the four custodians? Am Rav Nachman or Rav Aravua, Rabbi Meir. It's Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Rav Nachman, mi ikat tana de lesle? Arba shom, I don't understand. When you say, who's the tana of the Mishnah who speaks about the Arba shom Rav Osai, you make it sound like, is there someone who doesn't agree with the principle of the Arba shom Rav Osai? Everybody agrees with this construct. So what do you mean, who is the author of the Mishnah? Amalei Hachi Kamina Lecha. This is what I mean to say. Man tana damar socher kinose schar dami. Who is it? We'll say, who is the opinion who says that a socher, a renter, has the same status as a shomer socher? Whose opinion is that? Rav Nachman, Rav Aravua, Rabbi Meir. We'll say that's the position of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that a nose schar, that a shomer socher, a paid custodian, and a socher and a renter have the same status. Is that true? Vahar Rabbi Meir ipcha shaminale. But we learned that Rabbi Meir holds the reverse. This then we learned, socher kates ad mishalim. We'll say, how does a socher pay? Meaning, how does he pay for liability? So, Rabbi Meir omer kishomer chinam. So, in other words, or I should say differently, what's the nature of the liability of a socher, of a renter? Rabbi Meir says, like a shomer chinam, an unpaid custodian. Rabbi Yehuda omer kinos hischar. Rabbi Yehuda says, like a shomer socher. Now, both saying that. So, what do you see from here? You see just the reverse. The Rabbi Meir holds that a socher is like a shomer chinam, not like a shomer socher, to which the Gemara says, Rabbi Baravua ipchatani. So Rabbi Baravua, both say, had the reverse version. And Rabbi Baravua's version, Rabbi Meir held that a socher is like a shomer socher. Therefore, Rabbi say, the Gemara is suggesting that our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Meir. Everybody holds of the four shomrim. Everybody holds of the four watchmen, right? The four different, I should say, four different types of custodians. But rather, again, it's the unique sheet of Rabbi Meir who holds that a socher, a renter, has the status of a shomer socher. Tani, hani arba, havush lo shavu. So we'll say, I don't understand. If that's the case, then in reality, there aren't really four shomrim. They're really what? We'll say, they're really three. Because now a socher, a renter, and a shomer socher, a paid custodian, essentially have the same status. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, bar Yitzchak, arba shomrim, v'dinei shlosh. In reality, there are four different types of custodians. But I will say, between the four of them, there are only three categories. Right? So there are four different types of individuals, right? But really only three different halachas. Why? Because the Shomer Sachar and the Shomer and the Soker have the same status of liability, right? Have the same halachas. Amar l'Shomer Chinam, Heichan Shari. Amar l'Echav Ashok, Heichan Shari. Fine. Amar Rav. In all of these cases, listed in the Mishnah, one is pater from the Shavua Shomer. Rashi says, "Pater Mishnah Shomerim Kolomar May Asham the Shavuas Hapikadon." So, as we said already in the Mishnah, all of the cases listed here, are situations where what, where a person, even though they're lying about circumstances, are not freeing themselves from financial liability. Because of that, ultimately, again, they are pater from the Asham of Shavuas Hapikadon. But Rabbi said they are chayiv for what? They are chayiv ultimately again for a false shvuas bitui. Remember what's a shvuas bitui? What's a shvuas bitui is a declarative shvua. See, even though they're not chayiv a shvuas hapikadon, if you swear falsely, the Gemara is suggesting that you are chayiv for a shvuas bitui. You have made a false declarative shvua, and for that you will be chayiv. We'll say, look at Rashi. So we'll say, for example, in any of these cases in Mishnah, even though you will be putter from a shvuas hapikadon because you did not make a financial denial, but if you swore falsely and you realize that you were swearing falsely, then what? You will be chayiv for a false shvuas bitui. You will be chayiv a carbon ola viyoreid for a false declarative shvuah. Shmuel says, af peter mishum shvuas bitui. Shmuel says, you'll be pater even for a shvuas bitui. You want to be chayiv for that. What's going on? What are they arguing about? Shmuel savar lesa balahaba. So we'll say, Shmuel says, in order for a shvuah to be a shvuas bitui, you have to be able to phrase it both in the past tense and in the future tense. These shvuas, however, cannot be phrased in the future tense. Therefore, there is no liability even for a shvuas bitui. But Rav Savar, Isa Balavein. Rav holds that ultimately, again, the definition of a shvuas bitui, Rav Savar, has to be something that can be phrased in the positive and the negative, and all of these shvuas can be phrased in both the positive and the negative. Aye, v'haif ligu b'achad azimna. But Rav and Shmuel already argued about this once, the Itmar, because we learned, shvuas shezarak ploni tzor liyam. I swear that Reuven threw a stone, a pebble, into the sea. Shvua shelo zarak, or I swear that he did not throw it. Rav Amar Chayav. So Rav says this is a proper shvuas bitui. Why? Why? Why is it proper declarative shvuah bosai? Because it can be phrased in the positive and in the negative. Shmuel Amar Potter. Shmuel says your Potter. Why bosai? Because it can be phrased in past tense shavar, but cannot be phrased in what? Future. I can't say I swear that Reuven will throw the stone into the river. There's no such shvuah like that. So the Gemara says, Rav Amar Chayv Disa Balavein. Rav says, Chayv, because the proper bitui, because shvuas bitui, as long as it can be phrased in the positive and the negative, it's proper shvuah. So Shmuel Amar Pater, the less of Abba, Shmuel says, you're Pater. Why? Because you cannot phrase it in the future tense. So both say, Rav and Shmuel already argued about this once. If they already argued about it once, why don't you need it again here? Tzricha, we need it, both say. Di'iyah Shmuel Inan Baha. Because if I would have just said it in this case that we just quoted, maybe the case of where I swear that Reuven went ahead and threw the stone into the water, I will say that's a case where I'm swearing of my own volition. Right? Maybe that's where Rav holds his sheet of Al-Bahach, to be Dina Mishabile in Modi the Shmuel. But I will say where Bezin is administering the Shvuas Bitui, maybe even if it can't be phrased in the positive and the negative, maybe you'll still be Chayiv to ultimately again, Kid Rabbi Ami, Don Rabbi Ami, Kol Shuasha Dayam Mashbin also. Because Rabbi Ami holds that what? Any time, and we'll see this in just a moment, any time that Bezin administers a Shavuah upon a person, you cannot be chayiv for a false declarative Shavuah. Furthermore, had it just stated this halacha, this machlok is by our Mishnah, maybe it's only over here in our Mishnah where Shmuel holds his shita, but maybe in the other case, Rabbi Osei, that we just quoted above, maybe perhaps he agrees with Rav, therefore tzicha, therefore Rabbi Osei, I need both cases. Gufa, Rabbi Ami, Kol Shvuah Shadayana Mashpirin Osa, Ein Ba Mishum Shvuas Bitui. So remember, what did Rabbi Ami just say before? Anytime that ultimately, again, the judges go ahead and administer a shvuah. Anytime the judges administer a shvuah, there is no liability for a shvuas bitui. There is no liability for a false declarative oath. Shene'emar om nefesh kisi shava levate besvasayim. Because the pasuk says that when a person will swear to articulate with his lips, me'atzmo, I will say ultimately again the way Rabbi Ami understands it is Me'atzer. I will say that pasuk is about a person who swears of his own volition. When is there a chiyo for a carbon ola v'yoreg? If a person goes in and takes a false shavuas v'iter, I will say when is that so? That's so ultimately again only when a person takes a shavuah of his own volition. But if Beis Din administers the shavuah, then there will not be liability for a false shavuas b'itur. The Amar Reish Lakish, Sigmar says Kidei Reish Lakish. Well, perhaps it's another opinion because maybe it reflects the Reish Lakish. What does Reish Lakish say? The Amar Reish Lakish, ki mishtamish ba'arv l'sharon. So we'll say ki could go ahead and be ki could be understood in four different ways. E, if Dilma, perhaps, Ella, rather, Daha, but. So because of that, with the Gemara's understanding over here, is that, O Nefesh Kisi Shavalavati Basasai. In other words, that the only way that a person ultimately is Chai for a Shavuas Bitui, if it's the Vate Basai, if he articulates it with his own lips, i.e., if he takes the Shua of his own volition, but not if he is ordered to do so ultimately again by Bezin. Rabbi Lazar Amr Lazar says, Kula Peter Mishua Shomrim, the Chai Mishua Shua's Bitui. Rabbi Lazar says, all of the people listed in the Mishnah are Pater from Shua Shomrim. Both are Pater from the carbon Asham and the Chomesh, as we discussed extensively in the Mishnah. However, they are Chai for Shua's Bitui. Rabbi Lazar, if they realize that they swore falsely, right? If they knew they were swearing falsely, they just were unsure about the liability, right? For that, they will be Chai for a false declarative Shua, with the exception of the following individuals. Chutz, me'in yodea ma'ato sach deshoel. But with the exception of the case of the person who says, I don't know, but the case of the shoel, where I go over to the shoel, I says, heichan shori, where is my ox? And the shoel says, I don't know what you're talking about. Or, g'neva va'aveda denose schar v'sheva socher. Or Rabbi said, the case of where the nose schar, the paid custodian, or the renter, Rabbi said, something happened to the animal, they denied it, but in fact it was stolen or lost. Shu chayiv. Rabbi said that in these cases, these people will be chayiv eshuas hapikadon. Why? Shai kafra mamon. Because Rabbi said in these cases, ultimately there was a denial of money. Rabbi said, we won't make the official siyum over here. We won't make the official siyum over here. But lamaisa, we will we'll wish each other a mazel tov on unofficially completing the sechesh. Rabbi said, I want to end off just with two nekudos. So first of all, just to understand. You know, I was thinking last night as I was preparing the shiur, it's like, what's the takeaway from Masech HaShavuos? What's the takeaway from Masech HaShavuos? So I'll say, so first of all, of course, there are many takeaways. We had many beautiful gemaras with many beautiful lessons. But of course, the overarching takeaway, I'll say, is the Koach HaDibor, is the power of words, is the incredible and overwhelming power of words. And you have an entire Masechta, really two Masechtos, because it's Shavuos and Nedarim, that are both devoted to realities which are created with our words. So we'll say, so sometimes, again, sometimes we think that words are just words, that it's only actions that matter, words do not. We have an entire Masechta. We just spent 49 days focusing on the fact that that is unequivocally untrue. Actions are dramatic, but words can be equally as dramatic. Actions create realities. Words create realities. And Rabbi say, that's an incredible musa with which we have to live our lives. To recognize that the way we talk, that the way we conduct ourselves, that the way we talk to our loved ones, the way we talk to our friends, the way we talk about other people, Rabbi say, how we speak about other people, how we speak about ourselves, all of these words ultimately create realities. And if you think it's not true, all you need to do is do a chazara, as everybody's going to start tonight. Their chazara on the Masechta Shavuos. And you'll see again, blot after blot after blot, this word creates this reality, this speech, this creates this reality. Sometimes affirmation creates reality, sometimes denial creates reality. But I will say, there is no such thing as a word that doesn't create a life reality. Every single word that we speak has an impact. Every single word, you know, the Sas Emes brings down the idea by Nedarim. When the Torah speaks out Nedarim, so the Torah uses the word of Ish, Kiyafli lindar neder. If a person will be mafli, so the lashon of mafli is articulate. If a person will articulate the neder, somehow becoming a nazir. So the Sasem is the Ger Rebbe says so beautifully that what's the shorish of the word yafli? He says is pela, is a wonderment. So what's the wonderment of become? What's so wondrous? Sasem says it's a wondrous thing that you could create realities with your words. What a pela! What a pella that I could be sitting in this chair and I could say something. I'm not moving a muscle. I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here and I could say where I could create realities. Rabbosai, hopefully we remember a lot about what we learned from Masechet Shavuos. But if only the only lesson I walk away with is that my words are impactful, my words are meaningful, and therefore as a result of being a Jew who learned Masechet Shavuos, I'm going to be more careful with my words. I don't mean like Lashon Hara, things like that. That's obvious we can't speak Lashon Hara. I'm talking about just how we speak, the word choices we use, the tones we use, Rabbi Osai. This is the takeaway from Masechet Shavuos. Our words matter. Our words create realities. And Rabbi Osai, I want to end up with one last nakuda. We'll speak about this more by the Siyum on Thursday night. But I do feel like we have to ask a little bit of mechila from Masechet Shavuos as well. Because I feel like a little bit, all of us at some point in time during this Masechta said something to the effect of, I can't wait till this is over. And I will say, you know, in all seriousness, you know, this is the daughter of the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is the daughter of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Every single word, every single letter, every single page, this is the daughter of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't hit the sand, and Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't hit the water, because an inanimate object did something for him. I will say, every single day, we've been courting this beautiful, magnificent, radiant daughter of the Ribbono Shel Olam for the last 49 days. And the truth is, although in Yeretz Hashem, we're going to move on to the next daughter, Baruch Hashem, of Masechet Avodah Zarah, but this daughter uplifted us, and this daughter held us, and this daughter nurtured us, and this daughter loved us, even if we didn't love her back in the same way. She gave us her affection, every single blot, even if we were looking forward to meeting the next girl, right? Even if we were looking forward to meeting the next Masechta, I will say. And so we just have to, Torah is not just a book, it's not just a Masechta, it's living, it's breathing, it's emotional, and we spent the last 49 days with the Ribbono Shel Olam through the mechanism or through the portal of Masechet Shavuos. Okay, different Masechtas speak to different people in different ways. And there's no question that Shavuos is a difficult Masechta. But I will say, what a gift and what a privilege that we're going to be able to be Messiah this Masechta. And if you're behind or you missed a certain blot, you have until Thursday, Amir Hashem, B'Shah Tov Mitzvachos, to make up what you missed. Because I'll tell you, make it up. Because let's be honest, if you're not learning Masechet Shavuos in this year in the morning, you're not learning Masechet Shavuos any other time either. So if you don't do it now, it's going to be another 7.5 years until you get back to this Masechta. This is the opportunity to finish it. This is the opportunity to make a siyum. But this is the opportunity, not in public, but maybe when you have a few minutes just with your trusty companion, to say, I'm sorry. Sorry if I hurt you. I'm sorry if I offended you. I'm sorry if I was a little bit flippant about how I used my words or how I described you. Maybe I said chas v'shalom terrible things like, you're boring. Maybe I said terrible things like, you're not so attractive. Maybe I said terrible things like, I can't wait to meet someone else. Maybe I said things like that, but just know it was fatigue. It was lack of caffeine in the coffee. There were a couple of days where I want to tell you, I don't know what was going on. Just kidding. Chashan, the coffee is always wonderful. Maybe it was just something else. I was upset about something else in my life. So, you know, when you're upset about something, the Masechta is the lightning rod for everything that swung. If only Dafyomi was more interesting. But whatever it is, I will say, but on a serious note, this is our friend. And this is the best friend you're ever going to have in life. Because she is always by your side. She's always got your back. She loves you unconditionally and will be with you throughout life in difficult times and in good. So if we did speak a little disparagingly, Masechet Shavuos, on behalf of this show, we ask for your mechila. We thank you so much for being with us over the last 49 days, for loving us, for taking care of us, for lifting up our neshamas, even if we didn't understand every one of your words, and even if we didn't understand every one of your concepts, and even if we weren't able to retain every little nugget or morsel of inspiration. Thank you for being by our side. Thank you for shepherding us through this beautiful, beautiful journey of the last 49 blot. And I will say, B'Shah Tova Mitzlachas, we begin Masechet Avodah Zarah tomorrow. A new opportunity, a new journey, as Ari wrote in the email, a new month. What an auspicious beginning. New Masechta, new month. And by the way, I'm going to make it even better. Rabbi, you know what this week's parasha is? This week's parasha is Parshas Bo. Parshas Bo has in it Hachodesh hazel lochem rosh chadoshim. Parshas Boaz rosh chadosh. Both saying, there's something. You feel it. You feel it. If you close your eyes and you open your heart, you could feel that something is stirring. Something is happening. New mesechta, new month. Parshas Bo, the midst of Kiddush HaChodesh, Shabbos, say, a whole bunch of new universes colliding with each other. There's no telling what we could accomplish, Shabbos, say. Shavuos is a 70-day plus commitment. We'll say, make it. 70 days is nothing. 70 days is nothing. 70 days is under 2 months. Now, I know that in the middle of this, and with this I'm really going to conclude, I know that in the middle of Maseches Avodah Zarah, there's going to be yeshiva break. So a lot of people are away. And Rabbi said, you know that very often vacation is the death knell for daf yomi commitment. I've seen it. I just want to tell you. I've seen guys that are so stark and so good. A 2.5-day vacation could destroy 5 years of momentum. It's dramatically amazing. Dramatically amazing. Don't let it happen. Hold on. When you get your Avodah Zarah, you say to her, you're mine and I'm yours. Okay, I'm going to be away. Baruch Hashem, there's a podcast, there's internet, there's art scroll. There are so many other options on both sides. But let's make, I don't remember how many blocks, I think it's 77 blocks. There's a 77-day commitment on both sides. Less than 3 months. It's nothing. It's nothing. Shavuos was good to us. Avodah Zarah is going to be good to us. And maybe Bizochem Yerz Hashem to learn, to appreciate, and to grow from the Ribbono Shel Olam's Torah for many years to come.